Folks, this morning I have asked someone to come and speak. Derek Hayhurst has been a part of this body for many years. He serves on our deacon ministry, but more than that, he serves this church as a deacon. And just recently, a very good thing happened to him. He was became a fully credentialed Assembly of God minister. So, amen. He worked very diligently with all the various things that he had to do, and it was quite a process, wasn't it, Mr. Derek? They did not make it easy on him, I will promise you that. So, but we're very proud of him. We're proud that he is part of this body, and this morning I know the Lord has a word for you through him, and so I encourage you to just be attentive to what God has, and why don't you just go ahead and welcome him this morning. Amen. God bless you, Derek. Love you, brother.
Well, it is an honor to be up here. It's an honor to serve you guys, my family. And I want you to just understand this, that when we come to church as a body and we come to hear the word of the Lord, it delights him. He delights in us when we want to come and hear the good things that he has for us. He's pleased. He is pleased with us and loves us. And what I wanted to, well, let me go ahead and open with prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word, Father. Lord, I am incapable without your Holy Spirit. And I know that you have a good word for us all today, Father. And I pray that you would speak forth through me, that this word would be an encouragement to everyone, Father, because you love us and you love us unconditionally. And you have good and great plans for each and every one of us. And I pray this according to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what did I wanted to, the Lord put on my heart this past week for me to speak on is to encourage us in the blessings of the Lord and what his blessings are and how we receive them through our identity and knowing who we are. Because 2 Corinthians 10:20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." All of the promises of God are yes and amen. And I printed off a list. I could have put hundreds of promises on here. I just want to read some of the promises that the Scripture has for each and every one of us. In Exodus 14:14, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you, so you can hold your peace." Isaiah 40:29, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." Isaiah 40:31, "But those whose hope is in the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:13, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Isaiah 54:10, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Psalms 18:31, I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. I could have went on and on with the promises that are available to us who believe in Christ. You know, and as I read these promises, and in Deuteronomy, excuse me, I got into Pastor Rick's candy stash earlier. You know, all of God's promises for us are so that we will not be lacking. We will not be sick. We will not have to live in fear or anxiety or anything else that does not produce life in us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. God's will for us is to live a life free of sickness and disease, of fear, and anything else that does not help us grow into a healthy relationship. You know, Psalms 91, I want to read that to you because this goes just hand in hand with this. I have a lot of scripture today because the word is what sets us free and the word is truth. Every man is fallible, but the word of God is true. I don't have it all. Pastor doesn't have it all. None of us will get it all. But what is in here is truth, and it's always applicable. Psalms 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come near you. You will only look upon it with your eyes and see the destruction of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is your refuge, no evil shall befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels charging you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, these are promises that we need to stand on when the enemy comes to lie to us, to sow seeds of doubt in our ears, to sow seeds that are contrary to what God's word says. I would love to read the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 28 because it has the blessings and the curses of the law. And recently I started reading the curses of the law and the aspect of those don't apply to me anymore because I am in Christ Jesus. And that puts a whole other perspective on who we are in Christ, what our freedom is, and what God intends for us and how he intends for us to live. God's will is for us to live a life free from depression, anxiety, fear. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then John 4, it just jumps right to that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Whoever fears punishment is not aware of God's forgiveness that he has given towards you. In Matthew 6, so do not worry for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Whenever fear and anxiety about tomorrow, your provisions not being met, we need to stand on the word of God that says, do not worry about tomorrow. God is our provision. And he goes on in Luke 12, and he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on it, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens of the air. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? God's will is for us to prosper in everything that we do. The word says everything that we put our hands to will be blessed. Do you believe that? And God will provide all of your needs. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, a lot of times when we look at the desires of your heart, we automatically think that he's going to give us everything that we want. But it says the desires of your heart. And a lot of times we don't even know what the desires of our heart are. We seek our whole life growing up searching for things that we think will give satisfy the desire of our heart. Whether it's a career, drugs, alcohol, hobbies, relationships. We're always trying to find what that thing is that gives us the desire of our heart. But Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Until Jesus Christ dwells in us, we don't even know what those desires will be. We will never find them. We will search and search and search, but never find it. And the basic thing that our heart truly desires is acceptance. It's to accept joy and peace and be accepted in a way that we feel good about ourselves. And the only thing that will be able to satisfy that heart's desire is a relationship with Jesus Christ. His love is the only thing that will satisfy that. You know, we have all gone through life trying to find that satisfaction in a relationship. Every one of us in here that are married at one time probably thought, oh, I found the perfect person. When I get married, it's going to complete me. And everyone in here who's married knows that's not true. You know, it all starts off good. Then the struggles come. And with the Lord's help, we overcome and move on. You know, I love my wife deeply and strive to serve her. I'm not perfect at it. I fail miserably at times. I'm human. But my relationship with God is perfect because he never fails me. He is never angry with me when I mess up. You know, as a spouse, you know, we do things that aggravate one another and we get upset with one another and get mad at one another. And it's refreshing to know that my relationship with God is not like earthly relationships. He never gets mad or frustrated at me. Even when I make the most horrible mistakes on earth, mistakes that the whole world would turn away from me if they knew the mistakes that I made and the things I've done. You know, every one of you in here, if you could play my life on these screens up here, on all the evil and heinous things that I have done, not one of you would be able to look at me and not think about those things. It would taint the way that you look at me because we're human. And if I saw everything you've done up there, I could not look at you the same way. But that's the amazing thing about God's love, is he saw all that. And yet, because of what Jesus did, he remembers it no more. And that is an amazing thing for us to understand and to really grasp. We can say that we know that, but until we believe that we know that, it hinders our walk with him and with other people. But see, a lot of people picture God as the person who's always looking at your screen and always waiting there to punish us when we mess up. And with that mindset, it keeps us from doing the things that God wants us to do, from enjoying the blessings in life that God wants us to enjoy. And the great thing is when God chose to send Jesus to die for our sins, he chose to forget those things. And that's a huge thing for us to remember, is he chose to do that. He did not have to do that. And when he did do that, he eradicated and erased everything in our life that separated us from experiencing God's love. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, the relationship with God was severed. They could no longer experience God's love anymore, because in their mindset, God was mad at them. They had messed up. And it took a long time for me to get to that point to where I finally realized that God is not mad at me every time I mess up. Even the worst things that I could ever do, past, present, or future, were all erased. Because when Jesus died, he died for all sin, for all mankind, not just Christians. 1 John 2 says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world." In John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." You know, if you look at that scripture, we always think in our minds, if I keep my commandments, he will love me. But that's not what the scripture says. It says, if you love him, you will keep his commandments. And it's a whole mindset shift from understanding that when you realize that God loves you and you truly love him, you automatically keep his commandments. But so many times we think that we have to be good, we have to do X, Y, and Z to maintain God's love for us, or we're going to be cast out into the darkness. But understanding God's love for us changes the way we automatically live our lives. You know, when we were dating someone or had a relationship with someone, the first time we met them, we decided, I like that person. You studied them. You know, and when you did something they didn't like, you could see it in their face, and what did we do? Well, not going to do that again. We make a mental note, they didn't like that, not going to do that again. Not because you had to, not because they expected you to do it, but we cared about how they felt. And as we build our relationship with Jesus Christ and we read his word, we find out the things that please him and don't please him. Not that we have to give and do all these things, but we find out it just pleases God, and we want to please the people that we love. And then when we really understand that God does things to please us, it just makes life so much nicer. And one thing I have discovered in my own Christian walk, it's very exhausting to try to please someone that doesn't like you or that you perceive that does not like you. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to work with people that you can never measure up to please. It's exhausting to live with someone that you think in your mind, I will never be able to please them. And when that exhaustion gives in, we quit. We give up. And that unfortunately happens a lot in the church setting because we think that we have to do all this church stuff and it becomes exhausting and burnout comes because you're doing it under the assumption that I have to do this to maintain good graces with God. I have to do this because I'm a Christian and it's my obligation. But that is the farthest thing from the heart of God, what He desires for us to do. Because when we get to that exhaustion state, we look at God as someone that I can never please. It's never good enough. There's always another step I have to do and attain. And I liken that to the people that you don't care for too much that you see in Walmart. You know, you'll see that person who treats you bad all the time that you just can't stand. They're disrespectful. And you see them at the other end of Walmart. And what do? You step to the aisle. You're like, you avoid them at all costs. And even if they do make eye contact with you, you run 10 aisles over and hope to hide in the crowd. But the same thing on the opposite happens is when you see someone who loves you, that you know cares about you, that is a friend of yours, and you see them on the other end of Walmart, you go through the maze of people to reach them because you want to say hello. You want to fellowship with them because they make you feel good. And you know they care about you. And we all have one of these perceptions of God, every one of us. We either believe that God is performance-based to where we have to perform to stay in His good graces, or we truly believe that He loves me in spite of anything I can do. My performance means nothing, that He just delights in me because of who I am. And how we relate this image about God is how we treat the whole world. If we're angry and bitter towards people, then our perception of God is that He's angry and bitter towards us. Because if we truly believe that God is loving and kind to us, we are kind and loving to people. Because it's a natural overflow out of us. And I used to be this type of person who was full of anger and hate all the time. I felt I could never measure up to God. I did everything that I could in church and I still struggled because I tried to do it on my own. And it was exhausting, and it led to burnout, and it led to the back and forth, in and out of church. I'd go out of church and wait till it got super bad again, and then go back to church. And then I tried to perform on my own because I had no understanding that I didn't have to do anything but just believe on who Jesus Christ is and what He has already done for me. You know, it's been just over the past few years, really, that I have begun to understand what it is to rest in my relationship with God. And that just resting, just spending time with Jesus, talking to Him in my car, not praying what we think of a regular prayer, but sometimes I picture Him at work in my car, that He just comes up beside me and puts His arm around me and just rest in that comfort, knowing that He is with me. And that I start seeing the character of Jesus Christ as I read the Word now with the understanding and asking, what have You already done for me? What pleases You, Lord? And show me how much You love me in Your Word. And I've discovered that I don't do anything to get blessings. I have blessings that allow me to do things. And one of the greatest revelations or an understanding of God's truth lately that I have discovered, you know, we've always heard the scripture, you know, he who does not provide for his household is worse than an unbeliever. You know, you're supposed to work, you're supposed to provide for your family. And the Lord brought me to a place to where I couldn't do that. And as I was reading the word, it's like the Lord spoke in my heart. He's like, are you my child? I was like, yes. He's like, you know, if I don't provide for you, then I am worse than an unbeliever. He's like, my provision is for you. If you follow me, I will show you where to go. And as you do these things, I will provide for you. Instead of me going over here thinking I have to find a job to provide because that's what God wants me to do, instead of understanding that, no, God wants me to go where he wants me to go to minister the love of Christ to people. And as I do that, he gives me all the provision that I need. And the burden was lifted off because in my mindset and growing up, my parents and people, you know, you need to provide for your family. You need to provide for your wife. No, I can't do that. I understand now. I am incapable of providing for anything without the Lord. And the mindset of freedom that came with that is unbelievable. I have joy when I work instead of stress and fear thinking, I better not get fired. I better not mess up. I better not do this because I have to provide for my family. I have to provide. And the reality is, I don't have to do anything but rest in God's completed work and his provision and his blessings that says he is my provider. I am not my provider. You are not your provider. And when we realize that, there's a great freedom that comes with our ability to go where God tells us to go and to do what he wants us to do. Because the ultimate goal in our life is to share the love of Christ with people. You know, he wants us to be a witness, not witness. You know, our actions, our servanthood, our love for people. And it's difficult in some workplaces. But Brother Bradley's here, we work together. And we know there's stress in our jobs. And it's everything I can do at times to just show the character of Jesus, to serve people, because our flesh doesn't want to. But that's how I judge how much I've grown in the last few years is my workplace, is because I'm able to do that now. Whereas a few years ago, not so much. But it's a process. We are all on this growing process. And getting back to being the character of Christ, being a witness in this world, you know, if we do not exude the characteristic of Christ with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, self-control, and if we keep records of wrong, who wants to come to a Jesus like that? Who wants to come to a Jesus who's always getting angry at work? Who wants to come to a Jesus who always sees you struggling with things needlessly or getting angry or riddled with depression and anxiety? Who wants to come to a Jesus when he's supposed to be living inside of us and we're no different than the people of the world? How can we minister to someone the freedom of Jesus Christ, free from fear and anxiety, when we live in fear and anxiety? And I think that really boils down to what we truly believe is what we truly speak. What we truly believe in our heart to be true, what we really believe to be true, is how we speak and live our life. You know, if we have anger, depression, anxiety, I really believe it's because that's what we focus on, that's what we meditate on, that's what we think about. Circumstances will arise and we all will face difficulties in life. But how we handle those difficulties determines the outcome of our life. We can all deal with death in broken relationships, divorce. You know, as far as heinous things like molestation, abuse, we can all deal with these things, but how we come out of those things is what we focus on when those things happen. And if we constantly focus on, oh, woe is me, I'm so poor, I don't have any money, I'm just always going to be depressed, my family was depressed, my mother was depressed, my father was depressed, you're going to be depressed. You're not going to be any less of a Christian, but you will be robbed from the blessings that the Word of God says that you can and should walk in. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want to jump to this famous scripture of Romans 10:9, that if thou confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ thou shalt be, and believe in thine heart, you shall be saved. And if you believe that he was raised from the dead. Now I want to look at this to the aspect of what belief is. Belief is what we truly believe to be true. And we never speak anything out of our mouth that we don't believe to be true, ever. So if we believe, truly believe, the scripture is true, that Jesus Christ, who he says he was, and who the Word of God says he was, we will naturally confess that truth. You know, a lot of times we go through the sinner's prayer or salvation, and we have people mimic a prayer. Yeah, anybody can copy something, but it's only when we truly believe something that we naturally confess that truth, whether it's fear, anxiety, poverty, salvation. You know, that's what's so important for us to truly believe and meditate on what is true. And the Word of God is true. It's so important for us to meditate on the Word of God day and night. It says day and night. Constantly remind ourselves, what does the Word of God say about me? What does the Word of God say about my situation that I'm going through? What am I confessing about my situation? Am I confessing that I will never get through this? I will never get a raise? I will always be whatever, fill in the blank. What is our confession? And if you look back, it will be what you truly believe it is. And that's why it's so important when we minister the gospel to people that they understand who Jesus Christ is, that they understand and see our example. They see the character of Christ so they can have something to believe in. You know, I heard it said, if you replace Jesus' name with Joe, how weird would it sound to someone that you're trying to minister to? All you got to do is believe in Joe. Joe's a nice guy. Joe did all these things for you. Do you want to put your faith in Joe? How crazy does that sound? Because no one knows, other than the things he did, what's his character? Who's this Joe guy? But we're Jesus to the world. When people see that we are loving, kind, compassionate, and serving, and we say, do you want to know about this Jesus? I follow Jesus. He gives me the strength and the courage and the power to love people. Amen. Then people will be like, you know what? This Jesus, yeah, you used to be a jerk. Now you're not. That's the power of our testimony. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's like I talk to people at work, you know, I tell them little bits and pieces how I used to be, and they look at me like, no way. No, you know. It's like, yeah, I was a jerk. But that is a testimony of how I was and what Jesus can do and can do for you. Amen. And it's so important for us to always know who we are in Christ. When the devil comes and says, that person just really ticked you off, I think you should lash out at him. And you have a choice right then. And this happened to me not too long ago. And I started praying in the Spirit under my breath. They said you could feel the tension radiating off of me. But I chose not to speak. And I'm telling you, my witness would have been devastated. it rolled up on my back like heat and just crawled on my shoulder, and I could feel it. And I resisted, and I took that thought captive, and I said, I will not. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. And when we discover the love of God, we begin to choose to do things, not out of obligation to find favor with God, but because we have a compassion to do that. We have a compassion to serve other people. You know, time and time again in the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to set people free. And we can only get compassion for people when we truly allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And moving on to the Holy Spirit, have you ever asked God random weird questions? Well, it was just last week, you know, we just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter Sunday. And don't let me finish what I say before you judge me. I said, Lord, what was the purpose of the resurrection? I said, Lord, you said on that cross when you died, it is finished. My sins were forgiven. The atonement process, the fulfillment of the law was completed when you died. And every sacrifice in the Old Testament, when they were sacrificed, they never rose again. But yet they accomplished their purpose. And it's like the Holy Spirit just quickening me. He said to give you life and life more abundantly on this earth. You know, eternity was sealed that moment. He said, it is finished. Your sins are gone. The pathway is open for fellowship with God the Father. You know, in John 10:10, we all know, you know, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. You know, and I was just fellowshipping with the Lord. It's just all the things that he did came to mind. You know, he said, I must leave so I can send the helper, the Holy Spirit who will empower you to do the things that I did and even greater things. And what are the things that Jesus did? He raised the sick, or raised the dead, healed the sick, set everyone free who was oppressed by the devil. He brought joy wherever he went and set people free. He had mercy and compassion. He goes, and that's the purpose of the resurrection. You know, a lot of times we go up to the cross and stop at the cross in our walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that my sins are forgiven and I have eternity with you. But beyond the cross is what Jesus Christ wants us to do in this world and to present him to this world. What do we believe to be true? Do you really believe what God says about you and who you are? Do you really believe that he loves you outside of your performance? You know, our life's journey will be either one of peace, joy, and fulfillment, or one of regrets and what-ifs. And this goes for both Christians and non-Christians. A lot of Christians today live life with what-ifs and regrets. Because we really don't believe what God sees and says about us. I mean, I myself have thought, if I could have just done this instead of that, I would be better off with God. I would be farther down the road. I would be doing more for God And that's a natural thought of our flesh. But one thing we need to learn, there are no regrets living for Jesus. You know, I heard a man say one time, Jesus can take more with the rest of your life, no matter how old you are, if you're 99 or 12 or under. He could take you the rest of your life and accomplish more than if you could go back and fix everything that you thought you did wrong to try to make it right. You know, we think of the thief on the cross, you know, hours before his death. He said, Lord, remember me. You know, remember me. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Didn't do anything. Lived his whole life for himself up until he was nailed to the cross, put up next to Jesus. And yet his story has ministered to millions and millions of people because God deemed it worthy to put in this Bible. God can take minutes of your life and it can resonate down through eternity to accomplish his goal in your life. And we never need to look back on our what ifs and our regrets because it's irrelevant. Yesterday is irrelevant. How you raised your children or thought you could have raised them better is irrelevant. How your children are living now are irrelevant. Doesn't matter. God will accomplish his purpose as long as you follow him. And as I said earlier, two people can go through the same exact struggle, face the same things, but the one who believes what God says about them will come out with a different mindset. They won't come out with anxiety, depression, and anger. They will come out in who they are in Christ. Though it may be painful for a while, it won't consume their life. And if we are Christians suffering with chronic anxiety, depression, fear, anger, or anything else that's contrary to the Word of God and His blessings, then we are not resting in who we are in Christ. As I said earlier, we're still Christians, but you are not living life to the potential that God has for us. We're not doing it. Those things may arise, but that is such the importance of us taking every thought captive, saying, no, I will not meditate on that. We're always meditating on something, I tell people. We're meditating on something all the time. It's either good or bad. It's either for us or against us. And whatever we meditate on grows, and that's what we tend to believe. You know, that says, you know, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That means they had the truth of God at one time. You can't exchange something you've never had. And when we meditate on the wrong things, we begin to exchange. We begin to move that truth out of the way, and we pick up a lie, and we replace it in the area that we believe to be true. And we live our life based on what we think is true. Truth is truth whether we believe it or not. And it's so important for us as believers to know what is true so we can live like what is true so that people will see the characteristic of Jesus Christ in our life. That's how we evangelize people. That's how we love people. You know, I can memorize Romans Road and all the scriptures and go up to somebody and bring them to a conversation to where choose now, heaven or hell. Come on, what's it going to be? But if we can't bring people to an understanding to where they can believe what we say is true, it's just repeating after me. And if they don't believe it, there's no salvation. There's no freedom. And I think that's why over the course of the last 50 or 60 years, we have a lot of numbers in church growth, but we have very few people who are exuding the love of Christ. I don't want to be that person. I want to show the love of Christ everywhere that I go, and I want to serve people because I believe this word is true. There's nothing you can tell me otherwise. Every promise in here for me, I'm not going to live in sickness. I'm not going to live in ill health. I'm not going to live in anger, depression, anxiety. I will not, because my word says I do not have to. And if Jesus Christ didn't die for all that, then he didn't die for anything. And I think the greatest thing that we have ever done as our family, and I'm not being self-righteous, but turn the stinking TV off. I don't hear the sick commercials all day long, every day. I don't hear about, oh, you're going to die, take this pill, but you're going to go psychotic and kill people. I mean, those are the side effects of these things. It's ridiculous, but we're bombarded with all the news channels of all the negativity that's happening in the world. People ask me, did you hear about this? I was like, no. What? Why not? I was like, I don't watch TV. You know, and I'll catch news clips and people will share with me. I can find out the world events, what's going on. But it's removed a lot of fear from my life and anxiety that doesn't need to be there. You know, and I'll step on some toes and say, you know, we all have TV shows we like to binge watch and watch things and do things. But I'm telling you, 98% of them are not healthy for us. They do not build confidence in Jesus Christ. They instill fear and anxiety and temptations and things where we don't need to visit. But am I perfect? No, I still struggle. You know, sickness still rears up. But I tell you what, my first thought now is when I get congestion or a pain, it's to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. But this has been a long process for me to get to. It's not, the first thing is not for me going for ibuprofen. Though I may take some ibuprofen, my first response is in the name of Jesus. Headache, you have no place here. Get out of my head. You know, but I still may take ibuprofen. You know, I've not arrived, but at least I've left. And I pray that that's where we'll all be on the journey. You know, there's a target for us to attain at the end. And some of us are still sitting in the recliner saying, how can I get there? Okay, I'm going to do this and this and this to get there, but you never get out of the recliner. And I spent a lot of my life like that, you know, analyzing. I want to make sure I have the complete analyzation of how this is going to work before I start this progress because I don't want to fail. But the reality is I will not fail. For greater is he who is in me than he's in the world. Even if I'm going forward in Christ and I make a wrong turn, God's just going to be there to just go, step back this way. But I'm moving forward. And that's all that God wants us to do, is move forward in who we are in Christ. You know, Christianity is a journey that will never end until we die in this body and stand before Christ. But how we choose to live this life is completely up to us. You know, I'll leave you with this last scripture. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well-quoted scripture. But it takes effort in the fact salvation is free. It costs us nothing to believe on Jesus. But being a disciple costs you everything. Self-sacrifice. But it's really not a self-sacrifice when we realize the things that we've placed before God. He'll give it to us anyway. It's just he wants our heart in the right place. You know, he gives us inherent desires for hobbies, talents for sports, talents for things. You know, God would not give us these inherent abilities if he did not want us to use them. That'd be a sick joke for him to give somebody, that they're a genius at sports, you know, and they're like, well, you can't use that. So the devil. But what he wants is for our mindset to be, thank you, Lord, for this talent. How may I serve you with it? You know, all the desires that we have that God has placed in us, he just wants him to be in the forefront to where we can enjoy it. And he will allow us to enjoy those things. You know, we think that we have to be a Christian. We have to be in a bubble. You know, we're going to be tainted by the world now. We know we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. I'm going to walk around this hamster ball. But, you know, the reality is like, if I go out in the middle of the parking lot and it's noon, and I have a 10,000-watt light bulb sitting on the ground shining up, everybody can drive by and never see that thing. And that's what it is when we all just stay in our Christian group all the time. You know, yeah, we have this super bright light, but you can't see it. But when the sun goes down, you take that to a dark place, people from miles and miles around can see that light. And being of the world is a flashlight that's just not turned on. But we're to be in the world with the character of Jesus Christ, with our light turned on in the darkness. It's just like, you know, moths to a light. They'll come. People like to be around happy people. But if that light's not on, just another person, no different than anybody else. But Christ has called us to be in the world, everywhere that we're at, whether we're working, whether it's just people we bump into at Walmart, a grocery store, a restaurant, be nice, be kind, be generous. You know what? Leave a 50% tip. It's not your money anyway. Everything you have, the Lord has given you to do with what he wants you to do. And when you can let go of that, blessings come, because God wants, he really wants all of your finances to bless other people. But in turn, he blesses you because he delights in you. It's like those of you with grandkids. You spoil your grandkids. They don't have to ask you for anything. You know what they like. You find out what they like when they're young and you stock your candy in the drawers. Pastor Rick doesn't have any candy that the kids don't like. He knows what they like. And that's the way God is with us. He knows what we like. And as we journey along and do what he wants us to do, he has truckloads of blessings and good things for us. And we can't even see it because we think, I can't let go of this last $100. It's $100 and God's behind you like with a bucket full of them. Well, just let it go. But we need to believe that, because if we don't believe it, why do we live? What's the purpose of being a Christian? You know, and I would just challenge us all to examine where we are at in our Christian walk, or even if we have a Christian walk. Truth is truth, and it resonates in us. There may be people in here that the truth that I have spoken is a refreshing. It's refreshing because you've been thinking these things, or the Lord's been speaking to you, and it's a confirmation. Everywhere we go, God confirms his word through other people. No matter where it is, if you are studying the word and you're praying, God will confirm through other people. And there may be people in here, you spent your whole Christian life under the assumption that it is works-based, it is performance-based, even though I say it's not. I find myself doing X, Y, and Z because it's my obligation as a Christian. And it's exhausting. And you are exhausted. You're tired. And you may not share that with people, but you're sick of church. And it's really because you're just doing things that are good for you with the wrong attitude. It is good to read our Bible. It's good to pray. It's good to serve people. But if we're doing it out of the wrong attitude, it is exhausting. And that's how the enemy works. He'll take something that's good and just change your mindset about it. And there may be people who've really never understood that God loves me in spite of my failures, in spite of my shortcomings, that he loves me. But I'm telling you, he does love you. And if God is speaking to your heart, you know if he is, you know if that's true, and it's a refreshing that it's like, he does love me. that God still can have a purpose for my life. It's not too late. All you have to do is believe the truth of the Word of God. Truly believe it. You know, I can lead us in an altar call, a sinner's prayer, but it's worth nothing if you don't, really don't believe that. If you don't understand and believe who Jesus Christ is, that He died for your sins, that He rose again on the third day that we just celebrated, and He sits at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us. If you don't believe that, nothing you say will change anything. But there's freedom for you. There are blessings for you. There's tons of good things in store for you that God wants to lavish on you. And I just want to encourage everybody, no matter where you're at in your walk, to dig in. Hold fast to the truth which has been given to you. And do not be discouraged. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, where your journey's at. Just know today is a new day. You know, the scripture says, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock, for today is the day of salvation. But you know, every day is today. There's really no tomorrow and there's really no yesterday. If you think about it, every day he is pursuing every day. Because it's today. Even tomorrow will be today. And as you leave here today, I would just ask you just to examine yourself. Say, Lord, do I have a works-based mentality and didn't even know it? And I encourage those who don't believe the truth of the Word of God, ask God to show you that He is real. And He will show you that He is real. And I encourage every one of us, as we read the Word of God, do so every time that you open this. Say, Holy Spirit, give me revelation and understanding of your truth. Help me not to read the Word based on what man has said, what religion has said, or anybody else. But Holy Spirit, you show me truth.